The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, Monday afternoon. Welcome to another episode of the show. I am Michael Bisping, as always, with Luis J. Gomez. Not in my house, not in my home, not leaving his shoes, not trashing the place, but still on the screen. How are you, Luis?
You miss me. So why don't you just say it? You miss me a little bit. You miss the boys being there. You get up in the morning, you're like, Harrington. Oh. Quiet, empty house.
I get up in the morning and I've got peace and quiet. I haven't got you walking up and down screaming on the phone at 6 a.m. You're going to lower the tone. So, yeah, listen, and I like to look at the news. I don't have Diego Lopez sitting on my couch watching. What was that show? Freaks and Geeks. You're the freaking geek, Diego. I hate to say it to you. Fucking 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. I want to watch news. I want to be educated as to what's going on in the world. But I politely, on the last day, I was like, no, I'll let him watch his show. But I couldn't do it. After like 45 minutes, I'm like, I'm going up to the bedroom. I need to watch some news. I do not watch shitty teen dramas first thing in the morning.
I had never watched Freaks and Geeks. And Diego is a strange character. Diego,
he's great. I love him.
He's awesome. He's a very funny comedian.
Sweetheart of a man. Sweetheart.
Martial artist helps me train, but he's also like, it's actually kind of an interesting topic. We never even discussed we were going to talk about this, but trying to have a vegan in your crew when he's the only vegan and everyone else is not a vegan, it sucks. It really sucks because you have to make all the accommodations for this one person. And you're like, fuck you, dude. It's not my problem that you decided to eat this way.
And he got very offended when on Thursday, yes. I cooked up a beautiful barbecue for everybody. Cooked up a beautiful barbecue, went to a lot of effort, and we did. And by the way, we're not talking shit about Diego. I love Diego. He's awesome. He had the most manners, and he was the tidiest, least smelly out of all of you. Mm-hmm. But no, we were doing the barbecue. And then I said, oh, corn on the cob, obviously vegan. You know what I mean? That's a good go-to, I guess, if you're doing a barbecue for a vegan person. But in my quest to make it taste delicious, before I covered it in tin foil, or what do you call it, aluminum foil, I smeared it in butter, which I forgot. And everyone's like, oh, my God, and he's chowing down. He's getting into the corn. He's like, this is delicious. This is so good.
I've never tasted anything so good.
Yeah, and then Rebecca's, oh, my God, Diego, there's butter on that. And he was like, whoa, what the fuck? So my bad, Diego. Apologies.
You dosed Diego with animal byproducts. It's fucked up, bro.
Well, tough shit. Yeah. Got to deal with it. Sometimes that's going to happen. I guarantee every vegan out here, even though they're vegan and they talk about it and they tell everyone about it and they make a big song and dance out of every restaurant they go to, I guarantee that every vegan has been poisoned without their knowledge with some kind of animal product at some point. I guarantee it.
Look, and I guarantee that I've been poisoned with some horseshit vegan food too. I've accidentally eaten some tofu, maybe a soybean or two. It happens. It happens all over.
I tried some of Diego's tofu last week. I'm all for trying to like better myself and trying to expand my diet, you know, the repertoire of foods I may eat. I'm like, oh, tofu, let's have a go. Let's try this out. No.
No food.
Not for me. Never again. No food. It's not tofu. It's no food. No for me. No for me indeed. I told you a second ago, Luis, I'm a little bit annoyed right now. Nothing to do with you. As you know, last week, a couple of weeks ago, I tidied up all the garden, sanded back all the concrete, did all that shit, right? The final thing to be done, well, there's many things. We need the outside of the house painting, but we need the fake grass replaced. So I found a guy. Obviously, I'll think I'll rest
his soul. I heard you negotiating. His name, oh, I almost remember his name.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Don't say it on air because you ain't going to get him any business after this.
Oh, shit.
Don't say his name. No, no. So he gives me a price. He's going to come and start Monday today, right? And he'll have it done by Wednesday, all of it, right? Rip up the grass because Alfie's gone now, you know, so he's not pissing and shitting all over the lawn. So we can get rid of the fake grass, which has been there for 10 years. And
Harrington's gone now too. So.
Yeah, exactly. All the real animals have gone. No, but we can get rid of that and have some nice fake grass, you know what I mean? Because nice real grass, pardon me, or sod, as you guys call it. But, you know, it's better to have fake grass. Real grass. The fake gets very hot in the summer, you know, and it's whatever. It's not as good. So anyway, call this guy. He says, yeah, he gives me a price and we agree on the prices. I'll come Monday. I'll start. And fair enough, God bless him. They were there early, real fucking early, making a lot of noise, but that's good. That's what you want, right? They've ripped it all out. They've essentially destroyed my back garden, okay? And then the guy that I negotiate with calls me up. He says, Michael, I've got good news and bad news. I said, okay, give me the bad news. He says, well, the bad news is that we ripped up your garden and then we went to get the grass and the sod and they're out of stock. And it's going to be at least the end of July before they have any in stock. I said, okay, that's the bad news. All right, well, what's the good news?
There must be something good.
What's the good news? Because you said there's good news and bad news. What's the good news? He says, I'm trying to get you some. I'm like, that's not fucking good news. That's bad news. I know you're Mexican and you need to push up on your English.
No. We have a Mexican flyweight champion. You cannot disrespect the Mexican people.
I love Mexico. I'm not disrespecting him. He is Mexican, okay? I'm like, you need to push up on your English. That expression, I have good news and bad news, means there's a yin with the yang. There's a good with the bad.
Where's right my now, yang?
There's no fucking yang. I need a little yang in my life, okay? Plenty of yin. Yang. We got yings off the fucking charts out.
You got a yin up the ass right now, my friend.
Motherfucker. I'm like, you need to get me some grass. I said, how about you just call the place first and say, I'm going to rip up someone's garden that he's just lovingly done up for his guests, and his guests weren't even bothered. They didn't even say thanks for the barbecues or nothing. Before you destroy my garden, how about you source the grass? I mean, it seems like an obvious thing to do.
Yeah. So what are the, there's no grass? I don't understand. So what do they buy?
There's no grass. If I showed you right now, he's just torn my garden to pieces and then he's fucked off. He said, I'll be back next week, hopefully with the sub. I'm very annoyed. Annoyed. What do I do? What is my recourse? No recourse.
There's nothing to do. You can't, there's nothing. What I've learned in the past few weeks, even in Michael Bisping's presence, is all you can do is not freak out. Because if you freak out, he's never coming back. And now it'll be another year before you get grass.
Well, the other flip side of it is that I hire somebody else and he's got half the work to do. It's all prepped. It's all done, you know, but I'm gonna give him time. But this just happened literally before this started. I literally just got the phone call before we started the show. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Who does that? Are you cousins with Harrington or something? I mean, what the hell is going on? Anyway.
A gas digital production on your backyard.
Exactly. I did not use Brian to book these people in. You know what I mean? Anyway, there you go. First world problems.
This weekend, obviously we watched the fights, which is fun. We're going to talk about that. My car was in the shop, and I went to go rent a car on Saturday at Enterprise. Going to get another shitty Hyundai for a few days, whatever. And it was closed, so I was like, fuck. All the Enterprises were closed. That's where my insurance made a reservation for. So I called the first rental place that was open, and he was like, oh, no. He was like, we do luxury rentals. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And he was like, oh, well, you know, basically anything from $400 to $1,000. And I was like, and he started listing all these cars, and I was like, well, that sounds fun. So me and my son went over there, and we rented like a high-end, you know, luxury convertible BMW M8. It was fun. It was a really fun car to drive, but now I hate my Audi.
Now, I did see you in a nice car over the weekend, and I was kind of curious. I thought, oh, that's weird. He stepped it up a bit there. But you said that when you drove my Audi as well, Lewis. You just got to love your car, buddy. It's a very, very nice car.
What is it called? You got a turbo? Or
no, the supercharge.
Supercharge. Mine's not supercharged. Mine's a little bitch car.
Who cares? Doesn't matter.
No, I care. When I drive your car, it felt like I was fucking driving a real elephant. Man.
You were,
real, yeah, dude.
For a moment, you could take a body shot. That type of guy.
Yeah, well, no, we know that wasn't the case. They could drive that car all fucking day. I ain't taking a body shot.
For a moment, you could take a body shot when you drove that car.
But that car, dude, that BMW that I rented was really,
what was
really
it?
Fun.
What,
BMW
what
M8 convertible.
Oh, M8. Jesus
$170,000 car. Just fucking so fast. Red leather interior. I don't know anything about cars. I couldn't tell you one other feature, except it was just awesome and fun.
Yeah, no, the M series BMWs are fast. I've never driven an M8. I've driven an M3, and those things are like rockets. They're absolutely ridiculous. But yeah. All right, well, have fun, man. Enjoy. Drive around with James. Take some douchey photos. Yeah. I like it. I saw it. It's great. That's awesome to do, especially with you know, how old is James? What, 8?
He's 8. No, he thought it was so cool.
He'll think it's the best thing ever.
He loved it. I picked up his buddy. His buddy's dad called me up. He's like, dude, stop fucking bringing my kid in these awesome cars. He thinks my Nissan sucks.
Oh, God. Well, God bless him. All right. Well, listen, I'd be remiss if we didn't just get right into these epic fights that happened at the weekend. Of course, a lot of good action to start with. Where did you watch the fights? I saw you guys had like a little get-together.
Get together at Ralph's. The great Ralph Sutton of Gas Digital had everyone over. Ralph always does a great job, puts out a nice spread. I'll tell you right now, I learn a little bit from Ralph, because when you have people over, you can get a pizza or you can have a nice little spread, a little bit of everything. Have a lot of different little snacky foods, finger foods, not just a bag of potato chips, not just a pizza. Make it a little classy. Spend a little bit of money, but it was a very, very nice setup.
What was on the Ralph spread?
He had like charcuterie board. He had like little healthy snacks, like dried green beans, and he had fucking like just cheeses and meats, and he had like different like nice high-end crackers and multiple different types of crackers. Then of course he had the pizza, and he had samosas from the Indian place, and chicken wraps. And it was just, if you're gonna have people over, don't fucking tell everyone to bring beer. Like, this is every one of my friends. Like, dude, if you want to drink something, bring something. Bring a bag of chips. Everyone walks in with a bag of chips like an asshole.
Chips.
Everyone walks in with a six-pack of beer. They all throw it on the counter. It looks like shit. Ralph Sutton, class.
Well, there you go. I mean, I'll be honest. Yeah, at our place, Rebecca gets a bit... whenever I say, people are coming over for the fights on Saturday, same thing. Every time, I'm not cooking. I'm not doing anything. I'm like, can you just be a little bit of a wife? Just a little bit, please. I don't expect you to slave over a hot stove, but just take the chips out of the bag and put them in a bowl. Take the sushi that we pre-bought and put it onto a plate. Just fashion a table. You know what I mean? I don't expect you to make a lasagna or a three-course dinner for everybody, you know what I mean, and have silver service. No. But please, just greet the people, smile at them, and put the chips out in a dish. That's all you got to do. We don't expect a lot.
Not much. But honestly, you guys did a great job, obviously, with your barbecue. What did you do for the fights on Saturday night? Because we were going to stay, and we ended up not being able to.
No, it felt great. It was good. Empty house. What did we do Saturday morning? Saturday morning, we went somewhere first. We had something to do. Wow, my mind's gone completely blank. But still, what did we do Saturday morning? Do you ever do that? Your mind just goes blank. Been happening to me a lot lately.
Three times a day.
Yeah. Hold on. Saturday morning, I went somewhere. I went somewhere good. I was with Ellie. I was with Rebecca. Oh, we went out for brunch. That's what we did. We went out for brunch. We had a nice unhealthy brunch. Came back, sat on the couch all day. It's awesome. I love it. I mean, it's a little bit boring, but it was just nice to have a quiet house after you guys had gone. And I don't mean that as an insult. It's just nice sometimes. No, but you know what I mean? The maids had been in, so they cleaned everything. So all the slop and the residue.
Bisping had the maids, the team of maids walk in the second we were walking out the door. We passed them in the hallway and they looked at it. They looked down at us. Shitty we are, is that their maids look down at us.
I saw one of them walk by and look you up and down. And she shook her head in disapproval. She was not happy. No, so we had the house all nice and clean. Everyone went. I just sat on the couch, had a couple of beers and watched the fights, you know, tried to stay off Twitter, tried to stop inserting myself into the conversations and watched the fights, enjoyed it, and then got a nice early night because I had the BT Sport wrap-up show on the Sunday morning. I do like working for BT Sport, but a lot of the time it's early starts because of the 8-hour time difference in London. So yeah, that was that. Nice and quiet. Watched him with Rebecca. Let's get into it. Main event, Israel Adesanya, Marvin Vettori. Who did you pick in that fight? What did you think was going to happen?
I picked Israel Adesanya, you know, my official pick on the show, but I was rooting for Marvin, and I ended up making a couple bets that night. I got caught up in the moment. Everyone's having fun. Everyone's having drinks, smoking a little bit. I was like, ah, come on, Marvin could do it. He could do it. And yeah, sure enough, bad pick.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he'd do better than what he did. I thought Israel would win, but I thought Marvin would have more success. He started off really good. Obviously caught that kick in the first round and got the takedown. And I was like, whoa, this is not good for Izzy. This is not good because with respect, his ground game looked a little lacking against Jan Blachowicz. And I thought, shit. And they were out in the middle, like I talked about. They weren't up against the fence. But, you know, Izzy passed the test. He did great. He managed to get back to his feet. He didn't really take any damage. And Vettori, and again, I'm not being insulting towards him, but he never really capitalized on the position. You know, he did have him in a good spot a couple of times. Did take his back as the fight wore on as well. But, yeah, never really capitalized on that big, big position he had, you know. But... It was the one thing that struck me about that fight. I mean, you can break it down technically all you want. You can talk about, you know, Izzy's takedown defense. You can talk about him kicking the leg a lot. You can talk about his jab and all the rest of it, which is, you know, which is what he did. He used his height and he used his reach advantage very, very well. And he didn't really allow Vettori to get into the fight, even though he went the distance. And God bless Vettori because he is tough. Other men would have gone down to some of those leg kicks. He took a lot of punishment. But the story of the fight is when you looked at Izzy and you looked at Marvin Vettori, there was two very different pictures. And what am I talking about? Where do you think I'm going with that, Lewis? And by the way, I'm not trying to make a fool out of you. The people at home could be playing along right now. They go, oh, I know what he's going to say.
The big story that I saw coming into it, both before the fight and the night of the fight, going into the fight and during the fight, was how tense and emotional Marvin Vettori was and how calm, cool, and collected Izzy was both before and during the fight. And I thought that was a huge difference.
That's essentially what I'm referring to, because when you looked at Marvin Vettori, he was a big ball of tension. Mm-hmm. And like the look on his face and the veins were popping out, and he was like, ooh, 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 and he was just like this the whole time. The whole time his face looked like he was like, you know, in a life and death situation, which I guess is some... you know, to a certain degree, you kind of are. But still, it's not the way to perform. And I was shocked. I should have known this earlier because I've commentated some of Marvin's fights. He's only 27 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. For some reason, I just thought he was a lot older than that. So maybe that explains it. And maybe as he gets older, he'll learn to control those emotions a little bit, because I've talked about it ad nauseum. I won't go into it, but that's the worst frame of mind to be in a world title fight. And certainly get someone like Israel. Israel was cool, calm, composed. There was no stress. Even when he was taken down, he stayed nice and calm. Marvin, as I said, he was just a big ball of tension. And all that's going to do is slow you down. Yeah. You got to be nice and juicy, loosey. That's what they always say. Relax, relax. Anytime, you know, even you, everyone, you, the more relaxed you can be, the better you'll be. You'll see things coming. You're calmer. You'll be able to react better. Your counters will be faster. Your strikes will be delivered with more accuracy and more speed. And it's just a less stressful time. Remember when Darren Till and Robert Whittaker, they fought, and at the end of it, I think it was Whittaker or Till, one of them, they were like, that was so stressful. That was the most stressful 25 minutes of my life. Well, combine that with winning like that the whole time. I mean, fair play to Vettori. His cardio was there, but it would have been even better, because that for sure like would have slowed him down a bit.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the explosiveness probably was worn off a bunch. I mean, the amount of just, you know, the muscle fibers that you're just firing off just to do that, just to be tense, you know what I'm saying? Just to make two tight fists and make them really, really tense versus just being loose. You know, you don't even have to be a fighter. Just any layman can see the difference in energy output, and then doing that at a high level. But I mean, he was doing that for weeks leading up to the fight. He was tense. I don't think he stopped being tense. And I actually said this, I don't know if it was on the show or if it was just talking to my friends the night of the fight, but I said, I was like, I would have picked Vettori if it wasn't for that. I was like, Israel was very much in his head. He was so angry and so, and you said it yourself years ago, you made the point where it was like the guy who sort of like in the weigh-ins, you see the guy who gets angry and sort of pushes the other guy and lunges at the other guy. That guy 9 out of 10 times is losing, because that guy is, the other guy is in his head. You know, not always, but more often than not, I think that that's not a good mindset for a fighter. And I think Vettori did not go into this fight with a good mindset. Not saying that he doesn't have the physical attributes and skills to get it done. I think mentally he was just so like, just emotional. It was all emotion where, you know, it was just another day at the office for Izzy. And Izzy looked, it started to look, as the fight wore on, it started to look more of like a showcase of Izzy's skills.
Yeah, well, because Vettori couldn't really get going. I don't think he landed anything particularly significant. I know when you look at the numbers, of course, he landed a lot of significant strikes. But when I say anything significant, I mean, he never hurt him per se. He was never visibly wobbled or concussed or even really seemed to feel any of the shots. So he didn't land anything particularly significant. Yeah, he got a few takedowns. He managed to take the back. But every time Izzy was able to stay calm and cool and defend, there was a lot of the times – I'll tell you what Marvin did. Marvin did a good job of pressuring him, did a good job of putting him on the fence, you know, which is where you want to put Izzy, right? Because he's got less room to maneuver, less room to back away, and also less room to sprawl. In fact, you can't sprawl against the fence. So what he was doing, he was firing a combination and shooting, get the arms around the butt, the bum, the ass, whatever you want to call it. And then from there, you're going to pick him up and put him down. I had you doing that little drill yourself last week. But what he was doing, he was hesitating. He was taking his time, you know, and he was going, he would get position. And I got to say, he had a very, very good ability to do that. Marvin got his hands joined behind his ear almost every single time. But then he would wait. He would hesitate. And it was almost like he was waiting for the perfect moment. Now, no, of course, as the fight drags on and you're getting a little bit tired, it's hard to muster up that energy. It's like, okay, I'm in position. I'm going to take a second and then I'm going to explode. But all you're doing, you're just highlighting to Israel, I'm going to go. Get ready. Any second now, I'm going to explode. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. And when you do go for it, he's sitting there waiting for it. So, you know, It was a classic Israel Adesanya performance. I thought he looked great. I thought he looked very, very polished, as always. Didn't really take any damage. I did love Rafael Cordeiro. That's Marvin Vettori's coach, legendary coach. You know, I thought he did fantastic corner work in between rounds. He was imploring Marvin. He's like, come on, you got to go forward. You're losing this fight. Make no mistake. You are losing this fight. You got to do something big. You've got to finish him. And I thought it was great because he was saying it in a way that was to the point. It was a matter of fact, but it wasn't in a tone that would have been detrimental to Marvin's performance. Last thing you need is a coach going, fuck me, you shit. What are you doing? This is fucking awful.
Oh, is that the last thing you need, Michael Bisping? Is that the last thing you need?
You weren't in a world title fight against fucking Israel Adesanya, and nor will you ever be in one. So go fuck yourself.
I was jogging up a hill.
You're jogging up a hill, holding me back. You know, you were not fighting Israel Adesanya at whatever it was in Glendale, Arizona. I hate to break it to you. Hate to break it to you. I know in your mind you are there, but it's not the same.
What do you think would have been the big difference for Marvin, right? Because I think with Blachowicz, you know, I think his size was a big difference. Obviously, the fact that he has heavy, heavy hands, and I think that Israel respected Jan's striking, I think, more than Marvin's, I think made a big difference.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I thought Marvin did a good job of pressuring. I thought he did a good job of putting up against the fence, like I said, but he never capitalized on that position and he never really let go with the hands. Of course he threw here and there and he landed here and there, but it seemed like the plan was to take him down and control him like that. The plan wasn't to try and knock him out. Marvin's got the power to do that. Of course, he's not the hardest hitting guy we've ever seen in the UFC, but he's a big, strong guy. Simple as that. The man can pack a punch. The man can knock somebody out. Simple as that. But I just feel like, and I got to be careful what I say because I like Marvin a lot. And obviously he's came on the show a couple of times and we want to have him on again. So I don't want to be disrespectful, but I don't know. I think maybe didn't truly believe that he could stand with him. So he was like so determined to get the takedown. Maybe at some point you should have said, fuck the takedown. I'm doing a good job just pressuring him up against the fence anyway. Of course, the threat of the takedown helps you be better with the feet. But still, listen, at the end of the day, it's easy for us all to sit here and say that. When you're in there with someone like Adesanya, right, who's so fast and his reflexes are so good and his reactions are bloody like lightning, it's way easier to talk about it. I mean, you can say this. Marvin did a damn sight better job than Paulo Costa. Mm. You know what I mean? Paulo Costa was terrified. He never actually went forward. So, you know, when you look at it like that, fair play to Marvin, but unlucky, pal.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. You know, back to the drawing board. Marvin has to go do some work, but he's awesome. He's an exciting fighter. You know, one of the only stars coming out of, or one of the only stars or guys that are ranked that high out of Italy right now. So honestly, I think that's a big deal as well. He's like, you know, he can work his way back there, and we'll have him on the show again. But he got emotional. Didn't you have a beef with you at one point? What happened with you and Marvin?
Yeah, no, we talked about it a lot. We talked about it every time. He's being on, so I won't do it again. Yeah, but no, listen, I you got to love it because at the end he was talking shit to Israel. They had a little chat that I did in the right before the interview with Joe Rogan. And I think he was saying to Israel that he felt like he won the fight because that's what Israel said when he got on the microphone. But hey, listen, Israel Adesanya does it again. God bless the man. You cannot hate on what he's doing. He's looking incredible. He's beating these people. And you know, he kind of coasted to that victory, to be honest. You know, he was never really in too much danger. He did a great job of chopping up the leg, used the jab to tremendous effect. He did look incredibly dangerous as well when he actually, like, threw some of the shots, some of the harder punches. The harder shots that he threw missed, you know, some beautiful left hooks and stuff that he was throwing. But had they have connected, ooh, they would have been bad. But Marvin did a good job in getting just out of the way of them. But got to say, I'm impressed with Adesanya once again, because we said there's a guy that's fighting very frequently, very regularly. You know, I mean, when did he fight Jan? I want to say February or March? February, something like that. I don't know. The guy's defending the belt a lot, and he's making a ton of money. And now here he is, wants to come back in October, which is what, June, July, August, September? 4 months.
Yeah.
5 months, did a Brendan Schaub there. 5 months. That's great, though. He said he wants to fight Robert Whittaker in New Zealand, Dana said at the post-fight press conference. That's not going to happen. That's like saying if we wanted to go do a UFC in Canada right now, it's just not possible. But still, Robert Whittaker, Adesanya, October, nice.
I love it. A lot of respect for Adesanya for being as active as he is, because a lot of times you see guys, especially guys that are that big of stars, they start fighting less and less frequently. I don't know if they necessarily want to protect the belt or, you know, but they don't really need to fight four times per year, five times per year. And Adesanya must be raking in the dollars if he's fighting that often and he's that big of a star. So good for him. And
oh, he's killing it. He's making tons of money. Because I don't know what the pay-per-view were. On Saturday, you know, I don't think anybody does right now, but with it, Nate Diaz being on there, you know, it was a big number, and he's been a part of some big cards as well. And of course, he's his own star in his own right as well. So yeah, no, that's the thing. That's why you want to fight. You want to stack those chips while you can. God bless him. He's making a lot of money. All right, let's just take a quick second to talk about the Ridge Wallet. The Ridge Wallet was a sponsor of ours for a long time, so I know about these guys. But if you've forgotten, here is Michael Bisping's regular wallet. You turn it side on, thick, bulky, got cards in, there's all kinds of crap in there that accumulates. Here is the Ridge Wallet. See how small, sleek, futuristic? That has my cards in there already. There's a little clip here on the back. So therefore you can hold your cash in there as well as your cards. Now, it holds up to 12 cards. As I said, there's room for cash. The wallets have over 40,000 five-star reviews. That's a lot of reviews. There's over 30 colors and styles, including the carbon fiber and the burnt titanium. The durable material means each wallet comes with a lifetime warranty. Yes, you heard that correct. A lifetime warranty. And the Ridge team is so confident that you're going to like it, that you're going to love it. They're going to let you have this bad boy. This sleek little bad boy that just goes in your pocket, front pocket, side pocket, doesn't matter which pocket because you ain't going to see it. They're going to let you test drive that for 45 days. And guess what? After 45 days, if you don't like it, all you're going to do, send it back and they're going to give you a full refund. That just shows how confident they are in their product. So please, if you're on the lookout for a new wallet, Father's Day is around the corner, maybe something for your old man, then what you're going to do is you're going to go to ridge.com/believe, and we're going to give you 10% off. So as I say one more time, ridge.com, R-I-D-G-E, ridge.com/believe. That's going to get you 10% off. Trust me, these things are awesome. You will not regret it. Get with the times. Get with the program. Get with the Ridge. ridge.com/believe. 10% off. You're welcome. Of course, Saturday night, we saw the crowning of a new flyweight champion. And I was not insulting the Mexican gardener. It was an observation. He's Mexican. I'm just saying, in England, when you say good news, bad news, you gotta balance that with some good news. Fortunately for Brandon Moreno, it was nothing but good news Saturday night. Wow. I mean, what did you think of the fight, Lewis?
What an incredible performance. I got weirdly emotional watching Brandon Moreno's performance. During the performance, I was like, God damn it, dude. This wasn't supposed to happen this way, right? We all thought, or I shouldn't say we all, but a lot of people thought, including you and I, thought that Davidson Figueiredo was going to come out and in this fight almost do what Brandon Moreno did to him. I thought he was going to come out and be like, no, I got this fucking kid figured out, and we were going to see Davidson Figueiredo go on, dominate him pretty quickly, you know, show the world why he is pound for pound, blah, 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 blah. And Brandon Moreno said, fuck that. And it was like, It's whatever it was. I don't know why. It just seemed like it was all from the heart. He wanted it so bad, and he came on and he just put a fucking beat down on Davison Figueroa. There's no other way around it. He just beat him. He beat him up, and he took that title. And he's the first Mexican-born champion ever. And he was so emotional afterwards. And
yeah,
he just doesn't look like a UFC. We said it loud in the last show. He looks sort of like a dweeby little guy. And it was just, it was awesome, dude. That's one of these feel-good stories where it's a guy who probably, I think he got cut from the UFC years ago, right, when they were getting the...
Let me talk about the fight!
Okay, you asked me what I thought.
What did you think of the fight? The fight. Not the post-fight celebration. Not all the rest of it. Not the storyline. The fight.
I'm excited.
Talking about the fight, and then we'll get into the peripheral storylines attached to the fight. But right now is analysis time talking about the fight.
Fight was great.
Yeah, no, listen, you're absolutely right. Figueiredo didn't get going. And I thought he was waiting for the correct moment. I thought he's just sizing him up. He's trying to get a read on him. He's trying to figure out his timing. And then he's going to explode. You know, but as he got out the first round, was it the second round it finished in?
Or second.
Third? Second, yeah. I thought he needs to step on the gas a little bit here. I'm all for getting your timing and taking your time. But at some point, you got to kick it into gear. I thought he was doing what he did in the Alex Perez fight. In the Alex Perez fight, again, he didn't do much, but then when the time was there, he got the guillotine and he finished the fight very, very quickly. On the flip side, like you said, Moreno was, you know, he was cooking with gas immediately. Went out there, put a great pace on him. In fact, almost landed twice as many significant strikes, 71 for Moreno, 33 strikes to Figueiredo. Took him down, you know, controlled everything when the time was there to finish the show, got the rear naked choke. And it was very surprising, very, very surprising. I thought Figueiredo was going to give him a lot of problems. I thought Figueiredo was going to win the fight, if I'm honest. I thought Figueiredo's going to have his way big time. After the fight, he came out, Figueiredo, and talked about the weight cut and how the weight cut was an issue and he didn't feel good. And on the day, you know, just at the hotel, he felt very, very sluggish and slow and all the rest of it, which I'm sure... You know, I'm sure that is the case, but that doesn't take away from what Moreno did. And that is not an excuse for Figueiredo to use. If you're a professional fighter and your weight cut goes badly, that's on you. That's part of the performance. The weight cut is part of the preparation for the fight. So you can't go in and say, oh, I fought really good, but I ran out of steam in the fifth round because of the weight cut. Well, that's no one's fault but your own. You didn't do your weight cut correctly. You didn't prepare your body fight week the way it should have been prepared. You didn't get out of bed and go for a fucking run when you needed to. Right? Because fighters know. Fighters know when they get out of bed every day, you step on the scale before you have any water or any coffee, right? Because you want to be the lightest possible. You squeeze out the longest piss you possibly can. And I've been there many times. You close your eyes, you squeeze, like just a little bit more. Come on, a little bit more pee. Because it might just be the difference between being 213 or 212. You know what I mean? And it feels so good to see 212. So fighters check the weight every morning. And when you're stepping on that scale and it's not where it needs to be, well, then you got to take action. So whilst I sympathize with him, because obviously a shitty weight cut is a bad thing, and I did a BT Sport live weighing show, Figueiredo, you get a two-hour window for the weigh-ins. Figueiredo walked out with 2 minutes left. We were sitting there. Everyone else weighed in. I'm doing the show for BT Sport. I'm dying for a piss. And I'm thinking, come on, Figueiredo, for crying out loud. Everyone weighed in. He walked out with 2 minutes to go. And I thought, he's not going to make weight. There's no way. But yeah, he made weight, but did he show up on fight night?
Yeah, I didn't realize he had wake up problems, but yeah, that obviously makes sense. He just didn't seem as, you know, with it. You know, Moreno just beat him to every single shot, every single moment, and I don't want to take away from Moreno's performance, right? So I don't know if it was
no, the he was great.
Whatever it was. Moreno was on fucking fire, and I don't know what Davison Figueiredo could have done differently, because
Brandon Moreno was
walking home with that title that day.
There was nobody beating Moreno Saturday night. Simple as that. Yeah, that, I'm glad you said that, because yeah, regardless of whether or not he had a good weight cut or a bad weight cut, I think the outcome would have been exactly the same. Moreno was on fire. It was a jab. Dropped him with a jab.
He
pieced him up. The combinations were like lightning. The footwork was great. The takedowns were fantastic when they were timed to be used. Just so good. And then to see him afterwards on the microphone. I mean, I tweeted out Saturday night that Moreno's just a sweetheart of a man, because I see him at the Apex when I'm there. You know, he's a flower. He's a little guy. He's a little ball of energy. He's got his suit on. He's always got a big smile on his face. Guy looks about 17. But I think he's 27, which is crazy because I'm like, no way. No way he's 27. And he's got three kids. Me and Rebecca were watching Saturday night, and then I think John Anik said something about his three kids, and Rebecca's like, there's no way he has three kids. He looks too young. But
he's Mexican. He could be a grandfather.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What a heartwarming moment, though, when he got the belt wrapped around him. As you mentioned before, the man was cut from the organization. He was the last pick on the Ultimate Fighter. You know what I mean? So he's a guy that's, you know, everything hasn't gone his way. It's not like he was a Conor McGregor, came to the promotion and just doors opened for him. Granted, Conor did that for himself with his mouth and his fighting ability. But he had the flip side. He got cut. You know, and I always say, I'm always impressed with people when they get eliminated from the organization and then find their way back. Because, you know, a lot of people, there's two types of fighters, if you will. You know, there's some people that says, well, I'm going to go out, I'm going to become a fighter, I'm going to fight for the UFC and I'm going to make tons of money, yada, yada, yada. And then there's the other people that's just them. That's just their life. That's who they are. That's the card that they've been dealt. And the first type of people, obviously, they'll go, they'll fight on the regional scene, they'll make it to the UFC. And then when they get caught, they're like, oh, well, that was that. I made it to the UFC. Like Darren Till was talking about that time. A lot of people think the goal is getting to the UFC. And then when they do that, they've lived their dream. They've accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. And then they go off and do something else with their life. The second type of person, they get cut from the UFC. They're like, well, fuck it. No, this is what I do. This is who I am. I'm going to continue fighting, whether it's in Japan, America, England, Russia, whatever. And there's obviously Moreno, that type of guy, gets himself back in the UFC and becomes the fucking flyweight champion of the world. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a feel-good story. Yeah, obviously, everyone's going to root for a guy like Moreno now. Just great. Overall, really great.
Tried to get him on the podcast.
Oh, and he fucking big dogged you. Wow.
No, I don't think he's big dogging me. He's probably on a plane back to Mexico, to be fair.
More than anything else.
He big dogged me. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe. I said, congrats, brother. Amazing. I had a quick time response to that one.
He said, and then I said, hey, who this?
Yeah, yeah. New phone. Who this? Exactly. Hopefully we get him on Thursday. We'll see.
That'd be great. I mean, I think we probably should see, and I think it would be fair. Get that rubber match. You know, it was, yes, David Figueiredo got dominated in this fight. But with the weight cut story, and honestly, with how exciting their first fight was, it's a big, massive fight. There's probably not a bigger fight at 125 pounds for the men right now. Put them together, you get an incredible fight for the fans. Give Davidson the shot to win his title back. I think that's probably the logical thing to do, in my opinion.
I don't know if I agree with that. Just play devil's advocate, because the first one was a draw, right? It's not like Davidson won, but it was a great fight. He gave him a rematch. The first one was a draw, and it was a draw because Davidson needed him in the balls, So I don't know. I'm not against it. I'm sure if the UFC booked that and did that, I'd say, yeah, cool. I've got no problem with that. But there is other people out there.
Yeah, I'm pushing that a little less. I just, for some reason in my head, I thought that Davidson won the first fight, even though he technically won the first fight. He got the point deduction, but,
Ask me who I think should be next.
Who do you think should be next, Mr. Bisping?
No, ask me. Ask.
Who do
you... Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Ben Askren should drop to 125 pounds. No. He just fucking got his head knocked off by Jake Paul.
Yeah, and he looked nowhere near 125 pounds. I'm just saying. No, there's a guy by the name of Askar Askarov. By the way, the least imaginative parents on the goddamn planet. You know, when you got the last name Askarov, you do not call them Askar. But still, whatever. What Who am I to him? Judge? Askarov? Anything but Askar. Anything.
Billy.
What would you name him?
Billy Askarov.
Billy Askarov. I kind of like that. It's got a good ring. Good Anything's name. Better than Askar. Although I like Askar as a name. Change the last name. Anyway, Askar Askarov. He's on a roll right now. I think he's undefeated as well, if I'm not mistaken. Last time we saw him, I think he submitted Joseph Benavidez. Pretty sure of that. So, yeah, anyway, Askar Askarov, he's out there waiting as well. If they did a rematch, I wouldn't care. But we'll see how that plays out. Still. Oh, by the way, shout out Figueiredo for handling it so well. You know what I mean? Because I saw somebody tweet today and said, oh, supposedly the bad guy didn't look too bad there. And I don't know why people say that. Like he's supposed to be like a bad guy of MMA. He seemed like a bloody lovely sweetheart of a man there. Picked him up in the air. You know, it's one thing to raise the hand. you know what I mean, raise their arm. It's another thing to hoist them high up in the air like it's fucking Rocky and Adrian. You know what I mean? And that's what it is.
He might have been trying to throw him out of the cage.
You never know. Possibly.
Asgard did fight Brandon Moreno to a draw on September 21st, 2019. Harrington, I saw you put that in the notes, but I was already going to say that. Don't think you're taking credit for that right now.
No, he was not going to say that. Harry, just show yourself. I want to see what you look like today.
Let's see.
Let's take a look. Relatively natural. Do you believe that Lewis was going to say that? He'd never heard of Askarov until bloody 3 minutes ago.
Which is what leads me to believe he immediately share-dogged him and then did exactly that. Yeah,
right there, share-dog.
Well, don't fucking go to share-dog anymore, any of you. You got to go to Tapology because share-dog sucks and they can suck my balls. I hate share-dog. They did a story recently. Michael Bisping is arrogant and entitled. I know you'll agree with that, but they
told the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
You're gonna shoot them for being an honest publication. Finally, good journalism in MMA.
No, Sherdog are pieces of shit. And when I catch up with whoever it is, I'll tell you. Johnny Sherdog and Johnny Askarov, you're gonna get your ass kicked.
Yeah, Billy Askarov and Johnny Sherdog.
Anyway, so here we go. People's main event, or as some people called it, the Coco main event, the Coco. Diaz versus Edwards. I mean, Leon Edwards, what are you doing? What are you doing? He dominated that fight. Don't get me wrong. And Diaz is so tough. You know what I mean? And he made it so entertaining throughout the whole time. Every time he kind of like messing around, turning his back and all the antics, and he was talking to him and things like that. Diaz is so tough, and he makes every fight exciting. You know, and that's why he's got so many fans. But Edwards was dominating that fight, and it was almost like he couldn't do anything wrong. You know, I mean, when they clinched, he took him down with authority, beat him up on the ground, like opened him up like crazy with those elbows, kicked the shit out of his leg. And again, I'll say one more time, Diaz is so tough because he was a mess, you know what I mean? But he still carried on with the games and the antics and the showmanship, which is great. I love to see it. But then he fucks up in the fifth round and almost gets knocked unconscious, you know? So this is, it's like, not the worst scenario for Leon Edwards, because the worst scenario, obviously, had he got knocked out or lost the fight. Of course, that's the worst scenario. But Leon needed to go out there and beat Nate Diaz, take all of his fans, and then become a household name in mixed martial arts. But unfortunately now, the narrative isn't all about the 4.5 rounds of extreme dominance that Leon Edwards put on him, because he did. He dominated a great fighter, world-class fighter, guy that has legions of fans all over the world, dominated him and made it look kind of easy, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
but the narrative now is that had there been one more round, Nate would have knocked him out. Had this been on the street, Leon would have been done for. Now the narrative is, I can't wait to see Nate Diaz. Do you know what I mean? Yes, Leon went out there and beat him, but they're all talking about Nate Diaz. So I really feel for Leon in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, look, Leon had a damn near perfect fight. It reminded me of Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva, where Chael was just dominating. And then Anderson had that Hail Mary, submission at the end. And it looked like Nate almost had, I mean, we were losing our minds. The entire apartment up on our feet, 15 people screaming for Nate Diaz.
Diaz, of course.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude. Oh my God, losing our fucking minds. And look, Leon was great. It was so impressive for somebody to outbox and outgrapple Nate Diaz. That's rare. You know what I'm saying? Like, usually people are like, oh, I don't want to go down with Nate Diaz. I don't want to go to the ground. He's too tricky on the ground. Or usually people are like, all right, let me try to outstrike this guy. Leon was beating him in every area of the fight, and it should be commended. It was incredible, right? It was really a great showcase for how good Leon is. But you're right, because my first thought after that fight is, oh shit, Nate needs to drop down to 155, get a win. He can beat Charlie Olives. That's it. Nate Diaz back on top, baby boy. I didn't even have a second thought about what Leon Edwards should do next.
It's so Leon Edwards, and you know what I mean? I feel for the guy, because he's just kind of, it's not bad luck. You can't call going out there and beating Nate Diaz by a dominant decision, 49-46. That's not bad luck. That's a great night at the office. You know, it is. That's what I mean. That's so Leon Edwards. It's not fair, because the guy's on a 9-fight unbeaten win streak. Maybe it's 10 now, I think. I think it was 9 going into that. So, you know, he's got all the momentum. He's beating great fighters like Gunnar Nelson. He just beat Nate Diaz. But again, at the end, people are talking about Nate Diaz and how tough he is, and which, by the way, granted, they should talk about how tough he is. They should talk about how great he is and how he was able to still be in the fight. Because a lot of people, getting your ass kicked like that can be demoralizing. Getting your ass kicked like that for so long can take the fight out of you. Literally beat the fight, beat the will to win out of you. But Diaz still had that. And it was the slap. It was the old Stockton slap that came into play. And I was thinking about it. I was sitting there on the couch and I was breaking it down to myself. This is why the slap is so good. Because if I'm not mistaken, he did something very similar to Conor McGregor when he changed the tide on Conor McGregor. Because if you throw a jab, boom, you throw a jab, it's coming at you. It's a jab. If you throw a hook, it's coming at you, right? And it's a hook, right? Yes, you can block that or you can parry the jab, right? The fucking slap comes forward. Comes forward and then it's just like a little whatom. Hold on, where can you see the cat? There. It comes forward, it's just a little whatom. It's like a weird angle. You can't parry that. You can't block the hook. It's whatom. So one of them comes out, and there's a little bitch slap. And you're like, you fucking dickhead. And then boom, down the center comes the big hitter. You know, and it was a beautiful shot, and Leon was all over the place. And if Diaz would have dived on him right then and there, he could have finished that fight.
I think he tried. You know, I mean, Nate did go for it. It's not like he sat back. You know, I think he really threw everything he had at him, and it was such an exciting little exchange in that fight. It was the most exciting part of the fight. But look, Leon Edwards. I think he earned everyone's respect there. I mean, Leon Edwards, he's ranked number 3 in the division. He hasn't lost in like 8 or 9 fights or whatever it is. Like, he's the man. But I really want to see Nate Diaz move back down to 155. He shouldn't be fighting 170 pounders. He's a 155 pound fighter. And now that Charles Oliveira is the champion, I mean, think about that fight right there.
I don't want to think about that fight. You got to listen. Diaz did well there. You're right. Because I thought he's got no business at welterweight. He's going to get his ass kicked. He's too small, yada, yada, yada. And he did. But he was still in the fight. And he still made it exciting at the end. You know, but I guess to your point, you can't say he got dominated in the fight for the most part. But Nate Diaz is just so fucking tough and exciting that he managed to turn it around at the end. I don't think he walks in there and gets a fight with Charlie Olives. No way. Charles Oliveira, there's just too much of a backlog. You got McGregor and Poirier there fighting next.
I'm saying he gets one win at 155 and he's right there.
Nah. It's Nate Diaz. But who's that going to be against? It needs to be someone big. Connor. Who's that going to be? Justin Gaethje? I don't know if you know this, but Conor's fighting next month.
No, I know. Conor's going to lose. I think he's going to lose. I mean, maybe it's not a foregone conclusion. I think Conor's going to lose this fight, and then you set up the third match between Nate and Conor. And honestly, just beating Conor for Nate Diaz would get him right in there for a title shot. It doesn't logically make sense.
That is going to happen, though.
Oh, you think it is going to happen?
I think it's going to happen, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm tending to lean towards Poirier in that fight. It could go either way. But certainly I do think if it does go that way, if Poirier wins that fight and McGregor gets beaten, you know, then McGregor, I think in the short term, the dreams of title or the title aspirations, they're kind of dead for the moment. You know what I mean? He just lost 2 in a row to Poirier. He lost to Khabib before that and his last fight in the fight before that. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, he had that Cerrone win in there, but that was at welterweight. I just don't think that there's going to be any title eliminators in the near future. However, there's still massive money-making fights with a bunch of people, and Nate Diaz is at the top of that list. So you're right, you know. And then maybe, you know, whoever wins that might get another shot, you know. But still, yeah, Leon Edwards, congrats, buddy, congrats. He needs a finish. He's going to get a finish. And I can't say that. I had plenty of decisions. I'm not saying that from a negative standpoint. It would have shut up a lot of people. And it would be a very different discussion right now had he finished Nate Diaz. I just feel for him because it's almost not fair, which you don't say that in fight sports. It's not fair. Everyone's talking about Diaz and how tough he is and all the rest of it. When they're not talking about Leon that kicked the shit out of him for 4.5 rounds.
Yeah, Leon, you know, he deserves a title shot. I really believe he deserves a title shot, but they're probably not going to give it to him. It looks like Colby's getting it, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. What did Harrington put? Colby is getting it. Where is it? It's in the notes here somewhere because where is it, Harrington? Or just come out and tell us. I think Ali Abdelaziz came out this week and said it was Usman, but I saw that he also called out, he offered somebody else as a different matchup.
So what's going on here? Dana White has said multiple times Colby Covington is the next fight. No matter what happens in this Leon Edwards, Nate Diaz fight, Colby Covington is going to be the guy who gets the next shot. Apparently, Usman has been, you know, he's asked for any opponent under the sun not named Colby Covington. He's asked Ali Abdelaziz to make that happen for him. And as a result, Colby is saying now that Usman is taking meetings with different managers so that he could maybe get a fight other than Colby Covington next.
Yeah, let me read this out. So Brian just pasted it in here. That's what I was looking for. This is Colby talking about Usman. He's avoiding the rematch so bad, and he's finding out that you're not the real friend that he thought you were. That's why he's sitting down with other managers. I just have to say, Usman had a meeting with the CAA, Creative Artists Agency, Markel Martin. They had a meeting at Swan in Miami Beach, the design district. It's because Usman's not happy with Ali. Not only is Ali not doing what he promised Usman, he's not going to be able to get him out of avoiding fighting me. Usman doesn't want it. I mean, you got a fair play to Colby. He knows how to go in there and get personal. Now he's like starting some rift between Usman and Ali. I don't know if any of that is true whatsoever, but that's what Colby's doing the rounds with.
Yeah, nice. Create a little, plant a little seed of doubt, a little kernel.
Yeah. That's going to be a weird meeting next time Ali and Usman sit down next to one another. They're like, so, do you see the Usman? I saw the Colby interview the other day.
Yeah, Colby, yeah, he's a good bad guy. I like him. I hate him, but I like him.
I will give you that. He is a good bad guy because you love to hate him. Let's talk about what's next for everybody. I think next fight, Leon Edwards, unfortunately, the reality is he deserves a title shot, but he's not going to get one. Certainly, we've got Colby fighting Usman. I don't know when that's going to take place, but that is taking place. Dana doubled down on that at the weekend as well and said that's the fight that's going to happen. Jorge Masvidal, man. That's who it needs to be. Some people are saying that Masvidal needs to fight Nate Diaz again. I disagree. I thought Masvidal handled it pretty easy. Masvidal versus Leon Edwards. That's the fight to make. The three-piece and the solder. Masvidal assaulted him in London. There is backstory there for days. We've talked about it at length. That has to be the fight now for Leon. And it's just like, look at this, we're in the same spot. If Leon goes out there and beats Masvidal, then he's going to get a title fight. Pretty sure we spent all last week saying if Leon goes out there and beats Nate Diaz, he's going to get a title fight. But still, hey. Here we are.
Well, no, to be fair to us, I don't think we did say that. We've been listening to the Dana White narrative.
I said that many times in many publications in every interview that I had.
Well, I think it was a foregone conclusion that Nate was going to get one if he won. But either way, I think you're 100% right. That's the fight to make. Not only does it make sense just rankings-wise and sort of for the pecking order for everyone who's around, but that beef that they had, those guys already squared off. That little that can be used as a promo. That history will sell. People will get emotional about it. I'm getting excited about it as you're talking about it. And not for nothing, with the win over Nate, look, the history books will just have Leon beating Nate. They're not going to show Nate's flurry on Leon in the promos leading up to Leon's next fight, right? So I think they'll just use that. Obviously, it wasn't enough to get him a title shot, but he'll use that momentum fighting Masvidal. If he can have an exciting fight against Masvidal, then I think even if he doesn't get the finish, just an exciting fight against Masvidal with a win would more than likely guarantee him a title shot.
Yeah, and Masvidal has to take that fight as well. You know what I mean? Come on, you know, far be it for me to be talking shit about Masvidal. I'm not talking shit, but the reality is this.
We know how that goes.
If you go out there and you crack another man in the face, who's in your weight class, and you both work for a company that matches their employees against one another and puts them in an octagon to fight. Do you know what I mean? The pieces of the puzzle are there. It doesn't take a fucking championship puzzle maker to put the final piece of this jigsaw in place. Do you know what I mean? You both fight for the UFC. You're in the same organization. Sorry, you're in the same weight class, right? You're both riding high in the division. Of course, Masvidal just lost a world title fight, but he's still one of the top guys in the division. Leon is on an absolute tear, 9-fight unbeaten streak. And the last time they saw one another, Masvidal hit him with a 3-piece in the solder. That absolutely, unequivocally has to be the next fight for both of those men.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm excited for it. I'm here for it. I want it. I want to see it. When's the last time Masvidal fought? Was that the Diaz fight?
Usman, he got knocked out, remember?
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
So maybe, you know, Masvidal might be looking for maybe a less, not a number one contender. You never know.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Fume for supporting today's show. Fume is a really great product. I'll tell you right now, I have a lot of friends who are using Fume to stop smoking. It is spelled F-U-M, but it's pronounced Fume, and it's very simple. It's a Canadian-made wooden inhaler, no electronics, and its cores that are filled with the benefits of super plants, so there's absolutely no chemicals added. It's a natural and portable tool for allergy relief, relaxation, and a great nicotine replacement tool that fits right in your pocket, Mr. Bisping.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, this thing is fantastic. If you're trying to quit smoking, which you should be, Brian, I'm talking to you, then you're going to check this out, okay? The top seller, of course, is related to the quitting of smoking. That is the Conquer, which is black pepper, peppermint, eucalyptus, and some other things specifically designed for kicking nicotine cravings. There's the Reassurance, which is lavender, lemon, cinnamon for calming stress relief, and its anti-inflammatory benefits. Oh, I got to try that one. There's the bubbly line, which is lime, lemon, spearmint, etc., for energy and mood boosting. And they have the top seller, which is the new lemon berry bliss, lemon, lavender, ylang-ylang-y, peppermint, etc., for allergy symptom relief. Listen, at the end of the day, you don't want to be walking around like a douchebag. You don't want to be vaping. You're not cool. I'm sorry. If you think it's cool to vape, you're a dick. If you don't go to Fume and take advantage of our code, you're a dick. If you're smoking out there and you think it's cool, you're also a dick. Please do not take any offense to what I said. And that is my words, not Fume's. But seriously, if you're trying to quit smoking, this is the way to do it. What you're going to do is you're going to go to breathefume.com, B-R-E-A-T-H-E, breathe, Fume, F-U-M. Remember, there's no E on the end. Breathefume.com. Then use the code B-Y-M. That's going to save you 10%. And you're going to breathe in the benefits of the world's super plants today. I mean, there you go. We're going to help you quit smoking and we're going to give you a great deal and save you money. I mean, my God, you are welcome. Breathefume.com. Code is BYM. Where were we? Of course, the fight before that was also in the welterweight division. We had Bilal Muhammad taking on Damian Maia. The reason I bring this up here is because Maia is calling out Nate Diaz. I don't know if you saw that. He was very, very respectful. Said, I'm a big fan of yours. I like what you bring to the table. I know you're a real one and you also represent jiu-jitsu like me. Obviously, Damian Maia lost at the weekend to Bilal Muhammad. He couldn't get the takedowns. You know, we know what's going on with Maia. Guy can punch a little bit here and there, but he's a jiu-jitsu guy. He shoots in, he tries to get the single leg, takes you back, looks to choke you out and dominate you on the ground. Against Bilal, couldn't get the job done. Bilal had good defense. Bilal picked him apart a little bit, worked the body. You know, it wasn't the greatest fight.
It was a tough
fight
for Bilal, honestly. Like, because Maia, it's almost his striking is like unorthodox, so it's effective. So he was able to land on him. And I thought that it just sort of made it for like an awkward fight. It almost seemed like nobody really caught a rhythm in that fight.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, it was just Damian Maia trying to get a takedown and Bilal defending and in between those shots, landing a couple of shots, you know. Damian Maia is now 43. I saw Dana White say 44 at the weekend, so I'm not sure. Maybe he's 44. If he is 44, that makes this point even easier. But Dana said, listen, it's the last fight on his contract. He's 44 years old. He can't get the job done like he used to be able to, which is a fair assessment, you know what I mean? And I don't think we'll see him again. On the flip side, Maia is calling for one last fight. Yeah, Maia's 43, turns 44 in November. Maia's calling for a fight with Nate Diaz for one last fight. And while I respect Maia and I love Maia, and he is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, he is a sweetheart of a man. He is an absolute gentleman. He's a true martial artist. He's great in every way. But he's out of his fucking mind if he thinks he's going to get Nate Diaz for his next fight. You know, yeah. There's no way. There's no way. Diaz, you know, Diaz almost gets to call his shots. He's not going to take on Damian Maia, who just got beat, who didn't look his best, who isn't a big star, who actually also has a tricky style for him as well. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, maybe he's been hit in the head a few too many times. Maybe Maia has a mild case of CTE. Ooh, because maybe Nate Diaz would not fight him. Though, not for nothing, what a great fight. What a fun fight that would be. Just like two legends, two great jiu-jitsu guys. It would end up being probably a really fun fight on the ground to watch. But yeah, no, I don't see Nate Diaz doing that. Nate Diaz is always one or two fights away from, you know, being right there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So
and Nate Diaz might disappear for 5 years. Who knows?
What was the fight before that? Oh, Paul Craig taking on Jamal Hill.
Paul Craig.
But right, well, listen, bone to pick time. It's not. No. It's okay, but it's not with you. It's just with everyone.
With everyone.
Paul Craig. It's not Craig. It's Craig. We don't say Craig in the UK, but if I fucking mispronounce one word, oh my God, I've got everyone coming at me. Craig, Paul Craig. His name's fucking Craig. It's not Craig, right? Everyone says Paul Craig. It's not Paul Craig. It's Paul Craig. Paul Craig. No, dude, Paul Craig. How good did he look? I mean, I got to say, I picked Paul Craig to win. He's the bigger guy. He's got more experience. He's got ridiculous jiu-jitsu. But I was worried for him because Jamal Hill on the feet is slick. He's a powerful striker. He moves well. He was undefeated. There was a lot of bad blood coming into that one. They both talked a fair bit of shit at one another. But I was nervous. I was nervous for Paul. He's a very, very likable guy. I like him a lot. In fact, let's get him on the podcast. That'll be fun. But yeah, I was concerned, but fuck me, didn't need it. Pulled guard, very old school of him to do that. Pulled guard, slapped on that armbar like lightning, so quick. And I think it's been quite some time since we saw something quite as disgusting as that arm flopping about. I mean, what the hell was the referee waiting for?
I mean, I don't want to hit on the referee, but first, he was like 90.
Hate on the referee.
If there's going to be a time to hit on a referee, it's when a late stoppage, when a guy's arm is dislocated and flopping all about, like everybody, there's no angle that you're looking at that where you think that arm is okay.
Who was the referee? Do we know? Harrington just looked that up. I think seen him before.
He looked like Benjamin Button. He was so old.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be seeing him again either. I mean, that was a pretty big, you know, it's hard. Referees do have a tough job. You know what I'm saying? But as you say,
Protect the fighter.
At what point you have to step in and say, hold on a minute, something looks a little unusual here. Okay, I'm not used to seeing arms bend that way. I mean, it was a beautiful, what did he do? He went for the armbar, then I think he switched to the triangle, did he? Yeah, and he was elbowing him and the arm was flopping him around. Off. Oh, man. And that's going to be sore. I watched a breakdown from a doctor yesterday. Yeah, so he's going to have all the tendons in the elbow. They're all going to be ripped to bits. There's probably, there might even be a fracture. Certainly a dislocated elbow as well. Obviously, as we know, it only bends one way. It doesn't bend two ways. So, and he's going to be out for a while with that. I would assume that he'll be out for a long, long time. What's that?
Referee.
Al Guinea.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said right after the fight that his arm wasn't broken. I guess there was probably dislocation or whatever else it was. It wasn't nice. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't fun to watch. It was gross. It was also just, look.
It's awesome at the same time.
It is awesome, yeah.
It's terrible. I don't like seeing people get injured. I do not. Arizona Mazzagatti joke that Dana hates Mazzagatti. It's so funny. The Arizona Mazzagatti. No. I never take a pleasure from seeing somebody get hurt. Of course I don't. I have too much respect. But I do like to see a knockout blow delivered. You know, I admire the respect. I get no pleasure from seeing the person unconscious. Same with jiu-jitsu technique. I mean, you got to admire what he did there. And it just shows how dangerous jiu-jitsu is. You know, and he crunched that arm and he bent it back the other way and he's not going to fight for quite some time. But still, you got to admire the technique and just how strong of a jiu-jitsu player Paul Craig is. It's beautiful.
And admire the toughness of Jamal Hill. I mean, holy shit, dude. To not tap out when his arm was going back every way. It was like wild.
Adrenaline. Adrenaline's a hell of a drug, man. It's crazy. The things that people can do when they are full of adrenaline. You know what I mean? Because I guarantee if that was just any other normal scenario, you would have been like, whoa, stop. But when you're in the fight, you know, I say it all the time when I was fighting, when you get hit in the head, you don't really feel it because of the adrenaline. You feel it afterwards, you know? So, but still, it was nice afterwards. There was a picture on Twitter of them. They were both, I don't know, a nightclub or something in Las Vegas. They were dancing with each other, you know? So all the bad blood was settled. All it took was for a severely broken arm or fractured arm. Oh, there they are.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, they're dancing away there. Paul Craig looking Scottish as hell. Jamal Hill looking a little flyer, even though he's got the broken arm. Yeah, it's beautiful. You go out there, you hate each other, you talk a ton of shit. One of you breaks the other one's arm, and then you go and party together in a Vegas nightclub. I mean, that's what this sport is all about.
It is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing. I just want to see Paul Craig dance. I know it's not good.
I don't know. He's very coordinated. He's tall.
That is true. He's an athlete.
He's an athlete. He's coordinated.
The Jew Bear.
Can you dance, Lewis?
Not for shit, no.
Nah. I used to dance like back in the day when I go to like rave clubs and stuff. But yeah, dancing.
Give us something, Bisping. Come on. Just a move.
you know, it's just fucking bounce about, you know what I mean? No.
It looks like you're having a neck spasm. You're like,
Yeah. Well, my neck is spasming. Yeah.
All right, real quick, guys. You love the show. Go support us. You know how you can support us. Go subscribe directly at gasdigitalnetwork.com. You can get the entire on-demand library. Use that promo code BYM. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the notification button. You get a notification every time our brand new episodes drop live. We have new episodes that drop every Monday and every Thursday at midnight Eastern. So make sure you look out for that as well. iTunes, Google Play, really anywhere you can get podcasts, you can find the Believe You Me podcast for free. Live dates coming up. Please check out Tales from the Octagon, an evening with Michael Bisping. I will be opening that show up. It's going to be coming to the UK this fall, this October. Go to my... Fuck you.
MyTicket.co.uk. Jeez Louise, Lewis. I'm like, stop making a joke out of it every time because it wasn't funny the first 74 times.
I'm sorry.
MyTicket.co.uk, London, Dublin, Manchester, Glasgow, Birmingham, whatever. Be there, be square. Also... BYMmerch.com. We haven't got any of it on today, but go to BYMmerch.com. We're going to get some pictures on there. That's going to happen soon. But yeah, we got Devil's Avocado shirts. We've got a variety of shirts and hoodies. BYMmerch.com is the website. Anything else, Lewis?
Yeah, last but not least, I'm on touring as well. Please go. I'll be in San Diego. I'm going to be in South Jersey down the shore at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club this July. So go to lewisofskanks.com and grab tickets for all of those shows as well. I'll be at the Stress Factory on June 23rd in Jersey as well with a bunch of my friends.
There you go. All right, Harrington, come on and explain this one because I see number nine, Tyrone Woodley. By the way, Tyrone may be joining us Thursday. He just messaged me back saying hopefully he'll be not on a plane. He said if I'm not on a plane traveling on Thursday, then he'll be on this show with us. So that'll be good to have Tyrone on and talk about Jake Paul. But I see Tyrone Woodley doesn't want to put all this work in for nothing, calls for an anti-bitch clause to stop Jake from pulling out of the fight.
Yeah, so essentially Tyrone Woodley's just saying there, you know, he's putting in a ton of work. He expects to make his pro boxing debut on Showtime. He believes that it's real with everything that's come with it. They've done the face-off. They're doing all the press for it. His thinking, though, is that if he divulges too much of his training, right, shows exactly where he's at, all of a sudden Jake's going to come down with coronavirus or break a leg or something, anything to get out of this fight with Tyrone Woodley. So Woodley is asking for, in the contract, for there to be a bitch-out clause where if either man can't make the fight, there should be some kind of forfeit.
I'm not sure what to say about that. I mean, Tyrone's coming on Thursday, so we'll ask him all about it. But people pull out of fights all the time, you know what I mean? And I don't think Jake Paul's going to come out and actually admit to bitching out. I don't think any of that's going to matter. I think Jake Paul is very confident. He's a confident young man. He's full of his own shit. He's very arrogant, whichever way you want to call it. He's confident in his skills. He's a big guy. He's knocking people out. And I think, honestly, he's probably a little deluded right now. When I say deluded, because he probably thinks that, because every time he stepped in there so far, other than KSI, I believe, he's beaten them, right? He knocked out
Nate Robinson. KSI
that's his brother. He knocked out Ben Askren. I think with him knocking out Ben Askren, who's UFC guy, does not represent the UFC, but whatever. With him doing that, he thinks now he can knock out anybody. I really do. And he's got a fucking another thing coming with Tyrone Woodley.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. I think that Jake Paul believes he could beat Tyrone Woodley. I don't think that he's pulling out of this fight. Yeah, you see Jake Paul, he believes, and also not for nothing, it's not just him, the people that are around him believe it too. So a lot of these boxing guys that have trained with him are like, no, Jake's actually pretty good. And I think him knocking out Ben Askren, it was a wake-up call in the sense that, like, I think his knockout power is real. That's what I'll say, right? Because Ben Askren has been hit with bombs. He has gotten there and fought with 4-ounce gloves. He's been into, you know, real fights before. And for him to get knocked out the way he got flatlined like that, I think that, yeah, I think the knockout power is actually legitimate on Jake Paul. If he can beat Tyrone Woodley, I think I think that is his coming out party as a combat athlete, because because Tyrone strikes and he's a good striker and his boxing looks good in these promos so far. But I for me it looks great, but then you see boxing purists. I don't know. I'd love to get your opinion on it. Actually, maybe we'll talk. We'll do it after Tyron comes on because I don't want you to trash him.
I'm not going to trash Tyron. Listen, I know Tyron very well, and I've trained with him a little bit, and we've done demos together for Fox Sports. Where we get in the octagon, and anytime I'm in the octagon with somebody like Tyron or Kenny or DC or whoever it is, when we used to have that little crew, we all worked on UFC Tonight. Then we're going to do a demonstration. Anytime you put one of us with each other in the octagon, we're always grabbing hold of each other, we're always fucking about, we always start like gentle sparring, you know what I mean, because it's just within us, but we're all in different weight classes, so it'll never get to half of us. It's like we could all talk shit to one another, do you know what I mean, because we're not in the weight class, but then you put us in an octagon for a little bit of demonstration. It's like, oh, fuck face, come on, let's have a little play around. So I've been in there with Tyron, you know, messing around. The guy can strike. We know that he's legit. He's got power. It's just going to be interesting to see what he's got left in the tank. You know, and I mean that from respect. Listen, Tyron's pushing 40. Pushing 40, and he lost his last four. Four or three? Three?
Four.
Four. Wow. Lost his last four. You know what I mean? So how much has he got left in the tank? You know? Because he runs out with everybody. Runs out with everybody. You know, it's not always there. The fire doesn't stay there forever. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but he has lost his last four. You know what I mean?
So right now, early prediction, you're picking Tyron.
It's not an early prediction. I'm just saying that this is a much, much bigger step up in competition than fucking Ben Askren. I told you at the time, I told everyone, Ben cannot fight his way out of a wet paper bag. Even though he has the body of a wet paper bag, he cannot fight his way out of
one. And we wonder why Ben canceled on his appearance on this show.
Oh, the one guest that we allowed you to schedule every guest.
Yeah, because you're trashing him every week before. He's like, oh, Ben can't fight. Ben can't strike him with this one. Ben's supposed to come on next week. He's going to hear this. He's probably not going to come on the show.
I cannot lie. I cannot lie. I cannot lie. Call me what you will, but you cannot say I'm a liar on this podcast.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick moment and thank Hemp Fusion for supporting today's show. I love Hemp Fusion. Their sleep support is helping me get the best sleep I've ever had in my entire life. We've been talking about the benefits of CBD forever. Helps get your body back in homeostasis, can help heal your body in many ways. I didn't realize how much CBD can help me getting back to sleep, and I'm getting the best night's sleep that I've literally ever had in my life.
Yeah, well, if you go to hempfusion.com, you've heard us talk about this a lot now, but I'm telling you, if you go to the website, check it out, there's a lot of fantastic products. The sleep support is the one that they're particularly proud of, which blends 10 milligrams of CBD, terpenes, omegas, GABA, black pepper, and clove oil, and they release the entourage effect, working together to deliver a powerful benefit that equals well-rounded sleep. Now, of course, you go on there, they got the stress support, which blends CBD with ashwagandha and other things. They got energy support. The CBD is now available in gummies. They got all kinds of stuff on there. They got wellness creams. They got creams for eczema. You name it, they got it. If you need it, they have it. If you need CBD in whatever type of form it is, and by the way, you want the best quality at a very great price, that is one of the only CBD companies on the market that is truly organic. Well, then it sounds to me like Hemp Fusion is where you need to go. Hempfusion.com is the website, and the code COUNT will get you a massive 25% off and free shipping. Yes, that is correct. 25%. That is a big discount. Whichever way you slice it, that's a quarter. Okay? That's a lot, Lewis. And that's they're going to get free shipping on top of that.
Look, free shipping alone is worth it. 25% off, crazy. The quality of the product, unbelievable. It really is great. Go there right now, hempfusion.com. Use that promo code COUNT. Why not? 25% off. This is going to be your new CBD one-stop shop, hempfusion.com. Okay, Mr. Bisping, where were we?
All right, before we move on to some questions, Clarissa Shields competed last week. She made her made her PFL debut, MMA debut. You know, it's interesting because you've got all these boxers calling out MMA fighters, and you've got MMA fighters going over there and trying to, you know, trying to get fights with guys like Jake Paul, et cetera, et cetera. Fair play to Clarissa Shields for coming over and doing it the other way around. I mean, of course, she talked about it. She wants to earn some proper money. She said that in the women's boxing scene that she was on, the money was not there. In the UFC, it's been proven. We've shown people like Amanda Nunes, Valentina Shevchenko, Ronda Rousey. If you've got the skills and you can do it and you can win fights and you're marketable, you can earn a tremendous amount of money. So she came out, she had her PFL debut last Thursday. We were all there. It was the night of the barbecue. We had a barbecue. We watched the fight. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. I mean, she won. She won the fight. She got a stoppage, I think, in round three due to ground and pound. But she was, I was going to say lucky. Lucky is not the right word. It had nothing to do with luck. But she's lucky that her opponent didn't try more stuff on the ground. She got taken down. She got mounted. And she looked to have zero ground game whatsoever. Now, I'm not taking away from her performance. She won. She got it done. But it was certainly a big learning curve for her. But I will say, again, you know, fair play. She's a boxer coming over here, trying to make some real money and trying to really challenge herself, you know. And regardless of how bad she looked, I guess you have got to focus on the end result, which was a win.
Yeah, look, excuse me. There was some good. There was some very good, actually. Her striking was fucking crazy, dude. Some of those shots that she threw, they had so much heat on them. It was, like, very surprising. You saw the difference in the way that she strikes and in the way that other, not, I'm not going to say just females in MMA strike, just mixed martial artists in general. Like, she really knew how to throw punches. And the power on the ground with the ground and pound was, like, really brutal. Like, she had really, really strong shots. And you're not going to learn that, right? She has that. And that's a really, really, really valuable tool. She stayed composed. She didn't freak out. She was in there with a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. I mean, I know the girl had a losing record. But she's still, for somebody who has absolutely no ground game, to at the very least survive in a high-pressure situation, she should be commended as well. And the last thing I'll say good about Clarissa Shields is she got on the microphone at the end of it, and I liked her. She was kind of fun.
I actually think we have that clip right now because I'm super organized and I send this kind of shit through.
It's even better than a winning boxing.
Listen, I never doubted myself winning a boxing match in my life. MMA is something I was like, it's possible I could lose this first fight. I don't want to lose, but I'm like, I'm going to try dang hard not to lose. And that's all I did. I just had a never quit attitude every round. I'm like, whatever you do, I don't care if she gets you in an arm bar. I don't care if she gets you in triangle. You bet not quit. Never give up. And that's what I told myself. Because I heard my coach saying, let her up. They were saying, let her up. And I just told myself, hell no.
Did not let her up. The right hand.
I like it.
Nah, she's great. She's got a great personality.
She showed humility there, which is great. You know, she didn't come out and she wasn't like, I'm the shit. Like, I know she celebrated right afterwards, and that was something you commented on where you were like, she should be.
Yeah, no, it wasn't nice. Listen, she just won her MMA debut, so fair play. She's got a lot to be happy about. But I thought, you know, she's got a lot of work to do. And this supposed fucking brown belt that the other chick had, bullshit. I'm just calling bullshit on that.
Maybe her belt was dirty. She did look a little.
Maybe her belt was dirty. But hey, listen, she won the fight, and God bless her. Good for her. And I'm excited to see her do it again. You're right. Her striking is good. Of course, she's a bloody one of the most, if not the most successful female boxer that we've seen on planet Earth. So she's going to be able to throw a punch. She has a lot of sting. But the ground game needs a lot of work. I was just a little skeptical because she's been training. This has been talked about for a long, long time, her coming over. I would have expected a little bit more knowledge of the ground. If you're a boxer and you come into mixed martial arts, that's all you're doing. You're just grappling. You should be. Okay, throwing a few bit of kicks here and there. Throwing a few leg kicks, a few push kicks. Maybe you want to get jazzy with it, throwing a spinning back kick session, whatever. But the main thing a boxer needs to work on is the ground game, because an MMA fighter, their game plan is going to be plain and simple. Take you down, put you on your back. And it was very rudimentary. It was very elementary. It was very, very, very first day in jiu-jitsu class type skills. She was flying about the whole time. But hey, listen, she stayed composed. You know, I'm not hating. It's constructive criticism. I'm not hating on her. God bless her and good for her. And I hope she does great things. She has got a great personality, and I think she'll bring a lot of eyeballs to the sport as well. But she really, really needs to work on the ground game more, you know, because she got by Saturday night. You know, her opponent, I don't know her. I don't know her credentials. I'm not familiar with the PFL roster, to be fair. You know, so there is that. But still, you know, hey, passed the test. Still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I mean, look, she's pretty one-dimensional. But when we saw Ronda Rousey make her UFC debut, also very one-dimensional. You know, just
hey, there's nothing wrong with being one-dimensional. If that one dimension works, you know, and takes your fan base to the next dimension. See what I did there? But if that one dimension works, then great. But you're still going to have defenses in the other areas.
She was lacking.
She wasn't moving. She was flat on her back the whole time. The first rule in jiu-jitsu is never be flat on your back. And when you got to do is turn on your side. It's easy. You can turn on your side. She was flat on her back the whole time. She looked like a fish out of water. She really did. She looked like she didn't know what to do. That's my only observation. It wasn't that she couldn't do it, because she wasn't even trying to escape guard or to reclaim guard. Sorry, escape mounts, pardon me, or reclaim guard or any of those things. She wasn't trying. She was just literally sitting there, and her opponent, she got kind of lucky in regard. And again, it sounds like I'm hating. I'm not. She did great and well done to her. You know what I mean? But she does definitely need to work on some things, because had her opponent postured up and started coming down with elbows, there could have been a different outcome to that fight. I'm happy she got the win. I enjoyed her post-fight interview, but she needs to be in jiu-jitsu class right now. Simple.
So that's the one piece of advice. Former UFC middleweight champion Michael Bisping giving a piece of advice to Clarissa Shields. One piece of advice: hit that jiu-jitsu class.
Jiu-jitsu class over and over and over and over and over and over and over. She knows how to box. She knows how to throw a punch. You know what I mean? It's like when Matt Hamill was on The Ultimate Fighter. He was not doing any wrestling apart from learning how to punch people, because wrestling he could do fucking all day. He was a freestyle and a Greco-Roman world champion. You know, somebody like that, you got to round out the skills. Same thing, just the flip side. It's like Damian Maia when he came in. But even still, not even the same as Damian Maia, because with jiu-jitsu alone, you can win. With boxing alone, yes, okay, you can land the shot and knock somebody out. But your chances of winning an MMA fight when you're known to be one-dimension style fighter, people are just going to take you down. Randy Couture, James Toney, same thing. So boxing, boxing, boxing. Sorry. Jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu. There you go. Okay, we got a few questions, I do believe, Brian.
Yeah, I got a question here from Michael Miner. However, he does need to learn how to hold his phone when he's recording questions.
Okay. Well, let's take a look.
Miner. Hey, what's up, guys? So I have a few questions for Mike involving his acting career, because I know he likes to talk about it and it's not talked about too often on the podcast. So the first question is, will you be in Den of Thieves 2? And will you be a main character or maybe a side character like Max Holloway was in the first movie? And the second question is, did you get to drive any of the contestants' cars in Hyperdrive or try to drive them? Thanks, guys. Got the merch.
Oh, what a guy. What a guy. Michael Miner, I don't know what Brian's talking about. I thought you delivered it great. I thought the camera was steady, but it was kind of on the wrong angle. I don't know if you noticed that, Lewis. Did you have to tilt your head to the side?
That's what I think Brian was talking about. Can I play devil's advocate? Devil's avocado.
Do it.
I mean, Brian, you're a fucking producer. You could have easily just flopped that video on its side.
You just pressed the rotate function on the edit. You got edit, and it gives you a bunch of options. One of those is rotate. I mean, rotate to Rooney.
Even Michael Bisping, he's got no knees. He'll tell you.
The fuck's that going to do with editing? I can edit the shit out of things. Who are you kidding?
You got one finger, no knees, one eye.
Got no fucking grass in the back garden either. You know what I mean? Our pets' heads are definitely falling off. Michael Miner, thank you for the question. I am in Den of Thieves 2. Very, very excited to be in that. And I'm a main character as well. We film that either the end of the year or early next year. If you go on IMDb, Den of Thieves 2, the page is up there already. I've had confirmation about my part. We'll be filming, I think, in France, Croatia, and London. So I'm very, very excited for that. I'll only be out there for a few weeks, though, so shouldn't be too bad. But yeah, not acting side of things. Things are going well. Got a lot of projects on the go. Still waiting on like the finalization of these type of things. But yeah, it's going good. Second part of your question, Hyperdrive. If you haven't seen Hyperdrive, watch it on Netflix if you like cars. And no, I did not get to drive any of the cars, which is a shame. But, you know, the high-performance vehicles, and I am a nutter, I'm an idiot, and I'm maybe not the best driver, so I didn't trust myself. But no, did it. But Michael Miner, thank you for the question. And thank you for going to bymerch.com and buying one of those beautiful t-shirts. I know you want to tell us about how great the quality is, how the Egyptian cotton is just some of the finest that they've ever seen, but unfortunately you didn't, so I'm going to do it. Brian, next question, please.
I got another one here from Brad Stevens.
All right, Brad.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Lewis. Brad here from New Zealand. Hey, Mike, sorry to hear about your dog passing away, mate. It's never easy losing a family member. I myself am a dog lover. That's why I decided to start my own dog walking
company. Fucking rub it in, why don't you?
Here's my alive dog, Mike. Look.
She's Ella. She's pretty cute.
He's a fucking German Shepherd as well.
Oh,
he's got two.
Oh, yeah.
So my question for you, Mike, if you were to get another dog, what type of breed would you get? Would you stick with the German Shepherd? Would you get yourself a Border Collie? Maybe one of those fat labs, a Staffy or something. And for you, Lewis, I know you've moved out the city and you got yourself some land now and you can probably have the space for a dog. What type of dog would you get? And boys, I'm coming for you guys on that Timmy Fit because being a dog walker, I get quite a few steps in. So I'm curious to see where you guys will come up. And Lewis, if your fight coming up, man, you better be in that top 10 at least. I'd be disappointed if you're not, mate. Sweet boys.
Awesome. Lewis, answer the man's question.
What type of dog would I get?
And talk about rubbing it in. I mean, I'm heartbroken over here. I'm hiding it well, but still, the guy's talking to me about dogs. I can hear them panting away in the background. He's got a German Shepherd. That brought a tear to my eye. He also has another dog. You don't need two dogs, bud. Stop being a prick. But Lewis, if you now you are a wealthy landowner in the Garden State of New Jersey.
I'm a serf.
What is the dog of choice?
I'm trying to remember I don't even know what type of dog this is. They look like almost like small collies. They usually have light eyes and they have like spots on their necks and like fuzzy necks. Come on.
What are you talking about? A collie dog?
No. Harrington, Brian, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know. But anyway, but still for the sake of the podcast, what did he ask me? What did he ask? I forgot.
What type of dog are you going to, if you're going to replace your dog, and what type you would
No, we've talked about it already. Obviously, it's a weird one, isn't it? You can't go in there with the dog straight away. You've got to leave it a certain amount of time to where you pay respects to the dog that passed. But Rebecca's hellbent. She's like, no way. We are not getting another dog. Simple as that. But I will say this, if we do get another dog, it will not be a German Shepherd. German Shepherds are beautiful dogs, are amazing dogs, one of the best breeds on the planet, but they have so many problems. And that fistula shit, literally that fistula shit that Alfie had, it was the worst condition ever for him. It was the worst condition ever for Rebecca. Obviously, Dito was a German Shepherd and he went early as well. German Shepherds have a lot of problems. So, good shout out, by the way, for the Timmy Fit competition. And by the way, right on cue, Will Lowe, Timmy Fit founder, just messaged me. Seriously, as he was reading that question, and he says, listen, people are really engaged on the Believe You Me Manchester leaderboard. He said, this one guy here, he sent me the leaderboard. One guy has got done over 400 miles. 400 miles so far. So listen, if you want to get involved, I mean, I think this guy's going to take first place, if I'm honest. But still, fuck that guy. If Brian, edit that bit out. But go to timmyfit.com or Timmy, go to the app store, download Timmy Fit, T-I-M-I, Fit, Timmy Fit. Earn some crypto, earn some points, get involved. We got books, we got prizes, we got merch, we got cash. Timmy Fit is the app. But yeah, there you go. Brian, we got another question?
Oh, by the way, it's an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, okay. I prefer Germans, but whatever.
They're cute dogs.
Nice dog, but German Shepherd, Australian Shepherd. I got an Aussie wife. I feel I can say this. They shit compared to a German, okay?
Simple. Harrington's parents have one. Nah. There we go.
Well, tough shit.
I got a question here from Marco Uzalak. He came in under a different pseudonym last time, but you'll recognize him.
It looks like Conor McGregor.
What's up, DJ Mike B and the crew? Marco from Miami again. No boobs shots in this video, unfortunately for you. But I still have a couple questions. A great show with Chris Weidman. So after hearing his story, Bisping, would you rather lose the eye like you did or break the leg like he did, if you can choose? And second question. For Virgin Boy Brian, Brian, when you finally gonna lose your virginity, considering that Harrington just did this weekend with Lewis in bathrooms of public facilities? And Harrington, did you fucking find out what avocado means on Azteca languages and guacamole?
The fuck is this guy talking about?
Regards from Miami. Love you guys. I mean, some of you, usually your guests, but have a great weekend. See you next week.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, Barry. I'm not sure how to feel about this guy. How do you feel about him?
He's okay. I mean, he's a little bit too much of a character. A little bit too out there.
Yeah, yeah. What was the question anyway? What was the question? Was there a question on there?
He wanted to know if you could choose the injury.
Oh God, stupid question. Yeah, that's right. That's why I forgot it instantly. I refused to answer. We've talked about that with Weidman, did we not? What would I rather have, one eye or one leg? One fucking leg. I mean, I'd rather have one eye is what I mean. I would not want one leg. At least with one eye, I can still do my shit. I still won a world title. I still went out there and did whatever I do. Yeah. It doesn't stop me getting along in my daily day-to-day. You know
You're
what I mean?
Not winning a world title with one leg. It just
it's
ain't
business
happening.
As usual. You got a hard fucking time faking that injury. You know what I mean? You got a hard time squeaking past the doctor with one fucking leg. You know what I mean? With the eye, a bit of bullshit, you know, a bit of look over there, doc, whatever, you can get past it. With a wooden leg, with a peg leg, you got no chance. All right, we got one more, Brian. You said we had a few here today. Let's see if we can end on a high note.
Yeah, I have one here from Mark McEichern.
Okay, Mark.
Michael Bisping, Louis J, Harrington, Brian, what's happening? Coming to you from beautiful Norway. Out for a run with my dog Lefty. Bisping style.
Rub it in, why don't you?
Jesus.
I had a couple questions for you boys. I was wondering how the knees were holding up, Mike. I seen you rolling with Luke Rockhold the other day. That shit sent shivers up my spine. It was such a major surgery, and to see you come back like that is insane. Lewis, do you see a path to victory over Jason Ellis? And yeah, love the show, boys. Keep it up. Doing great work. Listen to you twice a week. Go fucking believe you me. Peace, boys.
Well, thank you very, very much. Doesn't that look beautiful there? Norway. Have I been to Norway? No, I haven't been to Norway. Always wanted to go. Visit the fjords. Do you know what the fjords are, Lewis?
I don't know. I figure that there's a Ricola factory. Or something.
No, it's they're the big lakes, you know, fjords, they call them over there. Yeah, Scandinavia. I haven't been to any of the Scandinavian countries, actually. Sweden, Denmark. Yeah, look at that. So beautiful. If you could go to one place, Lewis, in the world, I don't think that would be the one place, but where's somewhere that you want to go that you've never been to? Because Norway, Scandinavia in general, is somewhere I want to go to. Sweden, supposed to be beautiful.
I guess go back to Jamaica, bro. I mean, I know what's there.
This podcast is done. It's over. Podcast is there's a big fucking world. You know, everything you get in Jamaica, you can get in other places.
I know, but it's in Jamaica, man. I gotta go find it somewhere else.
I won't even give it a write up out now. I'm not even doing that. I'm not even doing it. Jamaica, loser. That's it, is it?
Well, no, I mean, I guess if I can snap my fingers, but what else is there? I mean, I want to go to Japan, but if I can snap my fingers, I know I love Jamaica. I don't know if I'm going to love Japan. Tokyo?
But that's what makes life exciting, and that's what makes life interesting. You got to get out there. You got to get amongst it. You got to take a chance. You got to go somewhere. Sometimes you might go somewhere and be like, you know what? Should have just went to fucking Jamaica. But other times you might go there and be like, man, this was so much better than Jamaica.
That's how I felt about Hawaii. I should have just went to Jamaica.
Well, you know, there's other places. Yeah, you know, there's other countries.
Where's one place you would recommend me to go as your friend? Yeah, I'm bringing James on a Father's Day trip in a couple of weeks. We got to
Thailand. Somewhere.
You're saying Thailand is where I should bring my son.
Thailand's awesome. Yeah, it'd be great. It's fucking incredible. Yeah, it's an awesome place to go with your son.
Brian says Germany. Brian, your Nazi tendencies are showing right now.
Well, Germany's very nice. One of the highest standards of living in the world. You know, so I've been to Germany as well. It was great. Go on, Brian.
You take a car ride to Switzerland through a mountain. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you can drive to anywhere in Europe. That's a great thing about Europe. But, dude, you gotta extend your repertoire of vacation spots. You gotta get out there. You gotta go to Asia. You gotta go to Thailand. You gotta go to Australia.
I feel like it's difficult to travel to Asia right now.
Well, yeah, right now. But hopefully, you dipshits will get your fucking vaccine. But why get back to business.
Why Thailand?
It's great. It's awesome. The people are lovely. The food is fantastic. The weather is great. There's a lot to do. You know, in terms of last time we were there, we went out on these trips, these boat trips. And then you're going into like, you know, obviously you got all your scuba diving and your snorkeling. You got tropical fish. But then, you know, there's
beaches and things like that, too.
Beaches in Thailand? Are you serious? The most beautiful beaches you've ever seen in your life.
I love this idea. I swear to God, dude, this sounds incredible. I'm going to look into this.
You should go to Phuket. It's unreal. It's unreal. Bangkok is obviously just a big, massive city. But again, it's such a diverse, interesting city. It'll blow your mind. Yeah, Thailand's awesome. You should probably wait for James to get a little bit older. Give it a couple of years or so. So you appreciate it a bit more and remember it as well, you know. Right. But yeah, and it's so good. It's such a culture shock. Everything's very different. Like Rebecca's parents live in Malaysia. You know, we're going to go back out there soon. It's just cool. You know, they live in a high-rise apartment. You got monkeys crawling up, robbing fruit out of the fruit bowl and shit like that. You know, and you're driving down the street, there's just all monkeys on the telegraph poles and stuff. It's just different. It's just a different culture and a different way of life. And it's just really, it's good for the soul, you know, to see that. And it's good for children to see that as well. And drills home to them as well that, hey, not everyone in the world has this. Not everyone is this lucky, you know, but it's enriching for them to go out there and see that firsthand.
So I never really had a need or a desire to go see the world or get any culture. But now that I have a son, I really want him to experience it. And I want different. I know that we were thinking about doing Tokyo because they have a massive Super Mario World, like a whole theme park based off of like Mario. And he loves Mario. So I'm just saying
that's a long place to go, a long way to go for a video game.
No, we would go just for obviously to go check out Tokyo and check out Japan. I think it would be awesome, but
I'm joking.
Come bring Lucas.
No, if I go to fucking Lewis, I've always wanted to go to Japan, and with the greatest of respect, when I go to Japan, I'm not going with you. Okay,
why? What's your fucking problem? Why wouldn't you like? I'm not going to Japan.
I studied diligently Japanese jiu-jitsu. It's been on the bucket list for a long, long time. Okay, when I go there, I will be going with my loved ones or preferably by myself and doing a little martial arts study. I will not be going with you and baby James. I'm sorry, I'm just throwing that
me
out
and,
there.
Me and
it's
Harrington.
Been on the bucket list forever. Okay, I'm not ticking that bucket list with Gomez, Harrington, and Brian, and Diego for some reason, all fucking waiting in the wings.
Diego's just eating fucking celery sushi the whole time, asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that's the show. We're going to be back Thursday. Hopefully, we've got Tyron Woodley joining us on Thursday, possibly even Brandon Moreno if he decides to answer my message. We'll see what happens. But until then, thanks for listening. Tell your friends, subscribe, all that good stuff. Enjoy, be well, take care. Be back on Thursday.